Evening. The last time I spoke on a Sunday evening, we're talking about the church of God. And I'd like to continue with that theme. The reading that we've got that we're basing it off is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, and it's verses 14 through to 16. I'll read it out for you. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What I'd like to do tonight is just have a look at that verse 15, particularly the phrase, in fact, singularly the phrase, speaking the truth in love. We need to know the truth. The truth is very important. But to be able to speak the truth, really, we need to be living the truth. In Proverbs 23 and verse 23, it says this: buy the truth and do not sell it. You might have come across the phrase sometimes, this is a keeper. You know, people perhaps trade in different things, you know, vehicles, instruments or whatever. And they sort of work their way through and they sort of experience different things. Oh, this is a good car for economy. This is a good car for performance, or this is whatever. But eventually they come to one and say, oh, well, I've had lots of cars and I've, you know, gone through this, but this one's a keeper. In other words, they've got something and they appreciate its value so much, they're not going to let it go. And what the writer of the Proverbs is saying is the truth is a keeper. Once you find it, do not let it go. Don't lose it, because this is something of high value. This is something of great worth. Without it, you're going to be impoverished. Without it, you're going to have lack. Without the truth, you're going to lose out. The truth is very important. There was one time we were on holiday in France. Now, this is going back to the sort of late 80s, early 90s. So there was no internet. There were no mobile phones. There was no GPS. Oh, yeah, a world like that really did exist once. And the way we used to work it was, you know, we'd be down sort of central or even southern France. And then we'd take a couple of days or so to get back to where we wanted to be, the port, to get us back home. And what we'd generally do, we'd roll up in a village and think, well, we've driven far enough now, we'll have a look around for somewhere to stay. But one year, we thought, we're going to do this differently, because sometimes you'd be looking around and no, we're full. And, you know, at one particular time, we actually ended up sleeping in the car because we couldn't find anywhere. But this year we thought, right, we're going to think ahead, we're going to sort it out. And we got a booklet giving sort of all sorts of different places you could stay. And we looked through and we found somewhere, duly phoned up, fixed a reservation, and that was it. We got a map and off we went. We arrived in the town and we spent it wasn't a big place, sort of, well, it certainly wasn't Barnsley size, probably a little bit bigger than Goldthorpe, but it wasn't enormous. But of course, on a map, you don't see every street, do you? It's just this sort of little blob and it gives you the name. So we were struggling a little bit. But we're driving round and we could not find this place. In fact, at one point, as we were driving along, we saw one of these town plans at the side of the road. And then we're sort of looking on this big map, trying to find out where we could go. And eventually we found where we thought we were. And we found out where the hotel was supposed to be. We thought we were there, but we're on the street and we couldn't see it. So either the book was wrong or we were wrong or something. But our idea of where we were didn't match up with where we really were. It wasn't true. And people can be like that. They can have their idea of truth, but it doesn't necessarily marry up with the real truth. And in that instance, they're just like we were, lost. They don't know where they are. We thought we were in the right place, but something was wrong. And people can have an idea of truth, but it might not be the truth. People have an idea of how things operate, where they're going, how things are, what they should do, what they should be like, but it might not match up with truth. What about the big questions? What is life all about and how do we live? Well, first of all, Jesus brings us the truth. It says in John 1, verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Grace and truth. He brought the truth. People at that time had an idea about God, but so many of them hadn't got the real truth. Their idea of God wasn't as it really is. But Jesus is more than that. He doesn't just bring us the truth. You know, I could bring you, I don't know, say a sack of potatoes. I've got them from one place, I've brought them here, and, you know, here you are, your potatoes. I'm not actually made of potatoes, just so happens that I've gone somewhere and got them. And we can convey truth. But Jesus doesn't just convey truth. He's truth in every aspect. He is the truth. He said, "I am the truth." Again, in John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." He gives us truth because he is the truth. Everything he says is true. Everything he does is true. He doesn't mislead in any way. You know, in John 18, as he was on trial before the Roman governor, Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" But I'd ask you, what is truth? Truth is reality. It's what is really there. If what we believe marries up with what's really there, that's truth. If we had really been in the right place, and if the hotel had really been on the street where it said it was, then we should have been there. But it didn't marry up. We didn't have the truth. And Pilate, the judge, the governor, said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And truth is reality. Whether it's Christians, whether it's non-Christians, if we hold onto the wrong ideas, we're not holding onto the truth. We're holding onto lies, false things that we believe are true, but they aren't. And Jesus is the complete opposite to the devil. Jesus, speaking about the devil, said this, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The devil seeks to bring untruth. The devil seeks to mislead. And a lie is an untrue statement with an attempt to deceive. The intent behind it is bad. You know, there was one guy who I came across And he was only young, sort of 16, 17. But he just seemed to lie all the time. As soon as you got him sort of pinned down and saying, hang on, what are you doing? Where are you at? The lies start coming out. To the extent that there was one time when his parents were looking for him and he was stood with me, he saw them coming, he ducked down behind a wall and he says, tell them I'm not here. Well, I wasn't going to lie to him. But he wanted me to just join in with his lies. He didn't want to be there, so he just wanted to mislead. And the devil gives us lies. He will mislead in any way he can. James, could you put the first slide up for us, please? Eventually. There we go. Okay, so there we have the compass. You can divide the circle into 360 degrees. Each degree can be divided down even further into 60ths. Into minutes. And guess what? You can divide a minute into 60, and what do you get? Seconds. But as you go around that compass point, there is only one of those points that actually leads to what we were singing about earlier, true north. Every other one will lead you away from true north. Now, it could be the complete opposite. So it could be south. If you go south and you're not on a globe as we are, then you'll never get to the north. But you know something? 1 degree off north will not get you to north. 1 minute away from north won't get you to north. 1 second away from north won't get you to north. And there are many ways to mislead. There are many things that can deceive, but there is only one which is true. The devil is the father of lies, and he doesn't mind which one of those points you head for, so long as you don't head for north, the true north that leads us to God. There are many ways to mislead, and there are many false directions. And the problem we have is that we tend to be more susceptible to certain lies than we are to others. There's certain things that will tickle our ears, there's certain things that we like that will lead us away from north. And the devil knows each one of us through and through, and he's prepared to speak that which will affect us the worst. But God is seeking to lead us to the truth continually. In John 15, verse 26, Jesus speaking said, when the advocate, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And in chapter 16, he says, for he, the Spirit of truth, comes and he will guide you into all truth. He will speak on his own. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. The Holy Spirit is a guide to help us, to lead us, to train us in truth. He knows where we need to be. He knows the direction that we need to be pointing in. And he wants to lead us there. But he wants to lead us, not just directors. You know, when we were lost in that small town in France, Julie could have helped us because she could speak the French, but she could have said to somebody, we're such and such a place. And I'm sure you've done it. You've been out, you don't know where you're going, so you pull up alongside somebody and try and get directions. Just a quick story about that. Hopefully not to throw you off. But one time I went on the back of a motorbike with a friend, went to Holland. And I said to him, but I don't speak Dutch. And he says, well, I don't. I says, well, how are we going to get on? He says, don't worry. everybody in Holland speaks Dutch. There was one particular point we'd virtually run out of petrol. We were looking for the nearest petrol station, so I pulled up alongside someone. He says, "Where's the petrol station?" And guess what? This guy did not speak English. So no, you've got to be careful who you ask. But the Holy Spirit just doesn't give us directions. Have you ever pulled up alongside, you're looking for wherever it is, and they say, "Oh yeah, what you got to do, you got to go down to the roundabout, you take the first left, you go along there for about a mile, then you take the third right. When you come to the hospital, you see this big sign, and you got to go down there. When you get to this little lane," and you sort of, I'm sorry, after the second junction, I'm as lost as I was when I started. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us directions. The Holy Spirit leads us. It's like pulling up next to somebody and they said, "Look, let me get in and I'll take you there." And the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. So that's the sort of idea of truth. But how does this work out? God gives us the truth about religion. As you look at Christianity, there are different denominations. You've got the main branches. You've got Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, East and West. And in Protestant churches, you've got the different denominations. You've got the C of E, the Methodists, the Baptists, Pentecostals, the free churches, which sort of tries to cover everything else. And they're a bit like flavours of ice cream. You go to an ice cream parlour, you look at the counter and there's trays and trays of ice cream, yeah? Different flavours, some that you've never heard of, but it's all ice cream. No matter which one you pick, it's ice cream. And there's some that will suit you better than others. There's some that you'll sort of taste and think, "I am never, ever going to have that again." There's others that you'll get and you think, "That's the one for me." The different denominations are Christianity. The problem is that some places will not sell you the real thing. In Acts 20, verse 30, it says, "Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw you away." And we have to be careful that we don't get drawn away from the truth. Some people can say it's the real thing, but it isn't. And these are the cults that we find. The largest ones that we see in this country, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they claim to be Christian, but it's not true. And as it says there, they've distorted the truth. And then, of course, there are other religions. You look around the world, the biggest one being Islam, the Muslims. But there's Hinduism, there's Buddhism, there's also humanism and secularism, who say there's no God. These are all different ways that lead away from the truth. What about the truth of how we need to live, how we should live? What's the best way to live? How do you have a good life? Well, there's no doubt about it that we can be absolutely bombarded with advice. Self-help book sections are some of the biggest that you'll find in bookstores because people want the best. They want to live well. They want to be successful, prosperous. Social media. Wow, we have influencers who show us the best thing, who show us the best way we can be. What's good? What we should be doing, what our lifestyle should be like, how we should treat others, how we should react, how we can be successful and how we can enjoy life. Be like me, they say, because I'm doing really well. Do you want to pay me for it? Apparently, one of the unwritten rules in the pilot's book is learn from other people's mistakes because you're not going to live long enough to make them all yourself. Learn from people's successes and their failures. We need to look around and understand how what they say fits with the truth. Some people will seek to avoid truth, seek to avoid reality. And we can do that in different ways. Some people will retreat into various kinds of drugs, whether it's really mild ones that just sort of affect their mood, or whether it's more hardcore that totally distorts reality. But all have the potential to destroy. And some people seek to adjust reality. They want a different identity. It can be sort of mild instances where you dress in a different way, you sort of take on a new idea of how you can be. But it can go all the way to such things as surgery, where people are unhappy with their own bodies and try to adjust reality to make it fit what they think is the best, to make it be what they think is the best thing to be. We try to make it what we think is right. Do you know, nobody can be born in the wrong body. God puts us in a body. And there can be problems with the body, and we can aid things and help, but it's not a wrong body. It's our body given by God. And that is the truth. Some ideas come and go. It's a fad now, it's the best thing. And yet a little later, it isn't. That wasn't true. Because truth endures and truth remains. When Mao Zedong took over China and was introducing communism, somebody said to an old sage in China, "What do you think of communism?" And his response was, "Ask me again in 1,000 years. Do we take the long view? Or is it what is good for now? Because truth endures and will not change." Hebrews 13:7-8 says this, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever." The writer of the Hebrews is saying, carefully look at, inspect what your leaders are like, what they're doing, and how it works out for them. He's saying, put them under a magnifying glass. Is what they're saying true? Is what they're saying working out? You've heard the phrase, how's it working out for you? It's often said in a not very nice way, like somebody's made a mistake and say, how's that working out for you? But what the writer to the Hebrews is saying is, look at your leaders, look at me, and how is what I'm saying working out in my life? Is it being fruitful, profitable? Is it good? He's not saying judge and condemn, but what he is saying is judge and see if it's true. What happened to them? Was Jesus demonstrated in their life? If he was, then follow them. Because he then goes on to say, Jesus is the same yesterday, day, today and forever. In other words, if it worked for them, because it was true, it'll work for you. Paul said a very similar thing. He said, follow me, imitate me, as I imitate Christ. In other words, anything good in me, it's coming through Jesus, will do it. And anything that isn't good, don't imitate it, because that's not Jesus. If it's working out right, if it's working out true, God is at work. And if God's at work, God can do exactly the same for you. You know, life can be a minefield. There can be issues and there can be nasty surprises. But if you've got to navigate your way through a minefield and you saw footsteps that led from one side to the other, you'd be a fool not to follow them. Would you be brave and say, oh well, I'm sure I can make this on my own. I don't need to go that way. Or would you say, somebody's been here before, successfully made it through, so that's the way to go. And what the writer to the Hebrews is basically saying is, you've seen the path, you've seen what happens, it worked, do likewise, because that's true. We need to follow God into ultimate truth. It's a gradual journey. We come at this life from many different angles, from different places. There's different work to be done in each one of us. But God is at work in us through the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. There's a warning in Romans chapter 2, verse 8. It said, but for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there's wrath and anger. If we reject the truth, we're setting ourselves up for a fall because we're heading into unreality. We need to find the truth, stick with it, not lose it, but hold on to it. And once we've found the truth, we can then speak the truth. Doesn't mean to know, say that we need to know all the truth. We don't need to know what's true about everything. But once we've found the truth, it's a precious treasure that we shouldn't lose, hold on to, but can then share with others. We speak what we know, what we've learned, what we've found. We share the truth. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14 says this, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Once found, don't let it go. It's part of our armour, it's part of our armoury. It's something that will help us, aid us and keep us true. Could you pop the next slide up please, James? When a climber's on a rock face, if he has either got a firm handhold or he's managed to hammer the peg in so that it's not going to come out, he can trust it, depend on it, and he doesn't leave it. He threads the rope through it and then he progresses. And once we've learnt a truth, we need to hold on to it. Because like we said at the beginning, truth is valuable. Truth is a keeper. But you know, the problem is that truth can be used as a weapon. Truth can be used to hurt. Truth can be used to destroy. And truth can be used to tear down. A scalpel can wound to harm. But a scalpel can wound to heal. It all depends on the intent behind it. And we're told to speak the truth in love. To speak the truth in love, we need to know the truth, we need to hang on to the truth, we need to hold on to the truth. But in that, we also need to know how to use the truth. James 5, 19 to 20 says this, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. If somebody wanders off true north and we know the truth, then we need to share it, but share it with grace and with love. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Have you ever been in the situation which the Germans refer to as Schadenfreude, where you're laughing at somebody else's downfall? I shared with you about Rebecca getting washed off her feet by a wave, and it just creased everybody in the family to the extent we just let her get washed over by the next wave that came along. That was Schadenfreude. We were laughing at her misfortune. But we should never do that with the truth. When we see people struggle and fall, we should help, we should aid. Because as it says there, we should be gracious and we should share truth in love. We can correct in a good way. We can aid and bring the truth in a graceful, loving way. We look at the other and we wield the scalpel with a heart that wants to heal. We don't wield the scalpel with a heart that wants to hurt. And God knows the motives of our heart, and we need to speak the truth in love, to correct, but to aid. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us love with words or speech. Sorry, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." We seek to build, not demolish. We seek to heal, not to hurt. We need to seek out the truth for ourselves. When we find it, we keep it. We treasure it. But we also then need to use it, because in that situation, we're in a position to share life-giving truth, to aid others, to help them, to assist them in their lives and to help them grow, to bring them to the truth, that they might be secure as we are, that they might be grounded in truth. We need to help each other by speaking the truth in love. Through God's grace, I pray we will always do that. Amen.